Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Every person in this room has the perfect motive.
Stand back!
For murder.
What do you mean? Murder.
But only one of these suspects is the murderer. Is it the timid Mr. Green?
Why are you screaming?
Because I'm frightened!
Of what?
Screaming!
Or the militant Colonel Mustard?
If I was the killer, I would kill you next.
Huh?
Said if.
Mrs. White, who helped her husband on his way.
What's a matter of life after death? Now that he's dead, I have a life.
Miss Scarlet, who's helped many men along the way.
Practice makes perfect. Huh.
Professor Plum, who's looking for a way.
I'm looking.
Mrs. Peacock.
I have absolutely no idea what we're doing here, but I am determined to enjoy myself.
Or did the butler do it?
No.
Paramount Pictures invite you to an evening of mystery.
Let us in! Let us out!
Murder.
This is getting quite serious.
And madness. In the movie that makes a scene of the crime.
Someone did it!
Clue. It's not just a game anymore.
Indiana Jones Avengers Endgame. It follows Joker, Wreck-It Ralph, Mamma Mia. Here we go again.
Frankly, Scarlet, I don't give a damn. And I'm Sebastian.
Yep, two corpses. Everything's fine. And I'm Jordan.
And welcome to our review of Clue. That's it.
Does Clue have a theme song? I was about to start whistling something, but then I'm like, no. Board games don't come with theme songs. Never mind.
No, they don't. And, I should...
For some reason, I think I was thinking of... For some reason, it was just Curb Your Enthusiasm just came into my mind.
I had similar piano music. I will say, for our international listeners, welcome to our review of Cluedo. That's what it's called in this country, in Australia. We call it Cluedo. The board game is not called Clue. What is with that? Like, was there a swap between Where's Wally and Where's Waldo and Clue and Cluedo? Because
maybe they just swapped, yeah.
Yeah, because we took the Do for Cluedo, but we call him Wally here. But in the States, they call him Waldo, and they have Clue. It's just weird. That's a weird...
Yeah, I can't explain that one.
I wonder if there's any relation. Like, surely they come. Why is it called Cluedo here? Because Clue actually... Waldo,
to Google we go.
Waldo is stupid because Wally is an actual name. Like, no one calls a guy Waldo unless they're actually referencing Where's Waldo. But that's it. Like, Waldo's not a name. Clue, though, makes perfect sense. Cluedo doesn't. It's like we both decided we're going to be wrong in these one scenarios each. Apart from that... I was going to talk about a different, better murder mystery game that I own because I think Clue in itself, the board game, I guess is it Parker Brothers? Is it one of those like-
I think so, yeah.
If it's not Parker Brothers, it's from the same sort of idea of like your Monopolies and stuff. They're board games which are meant to be fun but also not complex enough that a child could play them with their family. So when it comes for a murder mystery board game itself, Clue- does require a little bit of mental work, but also I think it's from ages 7 and up or something like that. Like a child can do process of elimination and it was
originally called Cluedo by whoever originally created it. And then when the Parker brothers bought it or bought the rights to it, they shortened it to Clue because it was originally a mix of a blend of Clue and a game called Ludo, which I've never heard of before.
Okay.
But that's about as much information as I can find. So I guess some parts of the world stuck with the OG and then others went with the Americanized Clue.
Well, this is one of those rare cases where I agree it should be called Clue.
As do I. It makes perfect sense. Cluedo isn't a word.
But nevertheless, we live in Australia, and we must we stand under that mostly blue flag, and we call it Cluedo, I guess. Yeah, it's not a terrible game by any means. It is just a game of process of elimination.
Yeah,
which I guess you could argue is almost the bread and butter of most mystery games.
Yeah.
The game that I really prefer, which is, it takes the concept of working out who the murderer was and tries to make it, you know, in air quotes, as realistic as possible, is actually, it's one that's to the side of us. It's Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective. It's that red box laying on top. Yeah,
you've talked about that one.
So effectively, you're assisting Sherlock Holmes with finding a murderer. The version I have is the Jack the Ripper version, which has like a five or six part where you have to solve like five or six mysteries in a row to then work out at the end who Jack the Ripper is. But you can do like one-offs as well. You've got a map of London. You've got a directory book. You've got newspapers that you have to go through and find stuff that happened the days of and around the murder itself to find what could be little clues here and there of like maybe this, you know, or a complaint about a noise in this particular, you know, apartment the other night. And then you can go on the map to that apartment. Mm. You find out where the reference is, which tells you where to go in the book, and you can see whether there's an interaction between yourself and the people in the apartment. Then you read through what would be your dialogue and their dialogue to then maybe push you in directions to be like, oh, you know, this person actually didn't say anything of note, but I did notice that, you know, there was a crucifix on their wall. Right. And the murder did happen on the Sunday, which is a church day. Maybe it's worth saying if this person, if they seemed like they were being a bit coy with you, is it worth going to the church and seeing, is there anyone that frequents the church that may be disgusting with this person? Then you can go to the church and there's other interactions. And it can be like that level of intricacy. Because it doesn't actually tell you that there might be the cross on the wall, but also she may have, you know, said six different things in the conversation, which you could also investigate. There's no right and wrong. Well, there are wrong, but there's no like one answer to bring you somewhere.
Like sort of straight line to it.
Yeah. And even with the map, like it's all gridded. So like a certain like square on the grid might take 10 minutes to traverse on foot, but 2 minutes by carriage.
Right.
So you actually have to take in people's like financial circumstances to be like, well, the only way that they could have gotten from A to B to commit the murder in time might also depend on their level of wealth.
Okay.
So there's like logistics involved in it. So as opposed to just being like, well, I know it wasn't the wrench, like, you know, you actually have to find out where the motive sat and logistically could it have occurred within the time frames given. There are still elements of elimination in there, but a lot more of it's reading between the lines of like there might be three people that had motive to kill the person as well. Yeah. Anyway, I prefer that game, but it's also...
That sounds far more interesting.
Yeah, but also a lot longer, like around it take you like 5 hours.
Yeah.
No, not around, a game.
A game, yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to, I think, Cluedo, you can smash out generally within like half an hour to 45 minutes, maybe?
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah. So I want to see the Sherlock Holmes murder mystery game, and I think it's actually just called Zodiac.
That checks out.
Yeah. But this, maybe, have you seen this before?
No, I hadn't. I honestly didn't know that it existed until we put it onto the schedule.
Surprise.
Yeah.
I don't know why this one came to mind. I've seen it before, maybe last year or the year before, like prior, like once. So I only saw it in my adulthood, not in my childhood.
Mm.
And I don't know why it came to mind to review when we had to fill in the gaps earlier. I can't remember what triggered that. Maybe somebody said question. Tim Curry and I just thought of it.
Maybe. It's about the only thing that stands out to me in this movie is Tim Curry.
I forgot Christopher Lloyd was in this film.
So did I until we were talking at the end of last week's episode.
Yeah.
But I didn't even recognize him.
Because he's so young. When did the movie come out again? I should have...
85?
It's not as old as I thought it was then.
Yeah.
85. When did Back to the Future come out?
Couldn't have been too far away from that. Maybe like 87?
85 as well.
Huh.
So it's the same year as Back to the Future. I think this one came out before Back to the Future though. But I'm just looking at... his hair's brown in this film.
Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd, as opposed to Doc Brown's like white. Mm-hmm. But he genuinely, his face looks younger. Like, but I suppose I would have...
Didn't even recognize him at all.
Yeah, the power of makeup, I guess, right?
That's it. Movie magic.
Yep. So if you haven't seen this film before, in short, it's a game of Cluedo. Sort of. The main cast is like your Professor Plum, Mr. Green, Colonel Mustard, Miss Scarlet, Miss White, all that. None of those characters...
I'm glad you're on top of that, because as I was watching it, I was like, it really stands to reason that it would be the two of us hosting this show, who are notoriously bad with names, would be left to host the episode about the movie that has 47 main characters. So I'm glad you're like across it, because I'm not.
I definitely have them in front of my face. Oh, Mrs. Peacock, I forgot that one. And then Wadsworth, who is the butler, who's an original member, I guess, of the narrative. Because normally in Cluedo, you've got your six characters or whatever it is, and one of them's the one that did the murder.
Mm.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So I spaced, for some reason, I got the other way around and thought one of them did get murdered. No. So you were trying to find out who is the murderer. Yeah, of course. And effectively, you know, there's been a couple of murders. The murder, it's kind of like an ongoing, almost like an Agatha Christie sort of scenario where there's one original murder and then as they're trying to work
subsequent
out.
Subsequent murders.
Yeah, exactly. As you're trying to do it, people are getting culled off. But it's all the auxiliary characters that are getting culled off. None of the featured colored characters actually die in this film. I think until some of like the very end in some of the versions, someone does get shot or not. But yeah, it's just that. And it's a comedy, for lack of better description.
You could call it a comedy.
I laughed. I genuinely
had a few laughs, but I didn't find it like super funny all the way through or anything like that.
Oh, no. It felt like a weird, like a British comedy to me. Like,
yeah, a little bit actually.
The jokes aren't every 10 seconds. Mm. Like there's maybe a funny thing every like 5 minutes of runtime thereabouts. There's a lot of scenes of just quiet waiting, the occasional conversation. Some are serious, some are not. Like they're not, it's not trying to make you laugh all the time. Like it actually felt like an Agatha Christie movie to me. Like, well, sorry, football story, I guess, but movie. Yeah. Except it was just occasionally somebody would say something funny.
Yeah.
As opposed to all the time. It was,
to me, like the whole time I was watching it, I was thinking like, this feels like Knives Out, but not good.
Yes.
Which I guess is the same because that's very like Agatha Christie as well.
But Knives Out wasn't, I mean, I laughed a couple of times in Knives Out, but Knives Out wasn't a comedy either.
No, it
was. Was it?
Unless I just, sort of. It was kind of like a dark comedy, I guess, in a way.
Yeah. But
I think it was more just like the setting of like this big house of death and like the like rotating cast of characters just kind of gave me that vibe.
Yeah.
And like as I was watching, I was surprised that like it hasn't been remade with like a modern cast yet.
It's coming.
And then I went to IMDb and I found that it is on its way. With a pretty good crew behind it as well.
I think Ryan Reynolds is in it.
Yeah, it's like Ryan Reynolds, Jason Bateman, and the two dudes who wrote Deadpool are writing it.
Oh, sweet. Well,
so that has potential.
I'll do the Andrew bits really quickly so we can move on. So this movie is rated a 7.3 out of 10 on IMDb. Over on Rotten Tomatoes, it's kind of similar. The audience rating is 86%. And then the critics rating, it's fresh at 65%. Mm. In terms of budget, it was budgeted for $15 million USD. I'll find out what the box office is in a second, but
I think it was like just shy of that when I looked at it.
Yeah, this film actually didn't do that well from memory. Yeah, 14.6.
Oof.
So just short, but they always say that you want to aim to double the budget once marketing comes in, but I don't know if that was the case for 85. That might be more of a modern standard.
Yeah.
But yeah, it actually did not do well. And I can't.
That stands to reason, given that I had not even known of its existence prior to last week.
So what I want to do is when we have, because there won't be any variety hours this last week, obviously you already know that, and this coming Wednesday, but when we do get back into the swing, I'm going to do a bit of a feature on sort of cinematic gimmicks that were used to try and pull audiences back into the cinema or to give them sort of an extra experience as a motivation to see it in the movies. Because there's a lot of films, generally horror films, but other films as well, that would do weird things in the cinema to try and, you know, stimulate people to come back. And this film actually had one of the more infamous ones in that there are three endings to this film.
Yeah, right.
And theatrically,
different endings just got shipped to different theaters.
Exactly. Mm. And which is a good and a bad thing. The version I saw online, because I rented mine through YouTube, has all three endings stacked on one by one. Which does bring the film to about an hour and a half, which is just barely making a good runtime. And that's with three endings that, keep in mind, if you saw back in the day when it came out, one of these, some of these endings are 10 minutes long, so you'd be leaving 70 minutes into the film.
Yeah.
And I will also say, out of the three endings, they work really well together by going 1, 2, 3, because 1, 2, 3 plays out. Here's one ending. Here's what could have also happened. Here's what actually happened.
Yeah.
And seeing it like that was actually first funnier, B, just secondly more satisfying, and C, the third
I think
ending
any
is
of those
ending.
Singular endings would have been really like just, oh, okay, that's it.
Yeah. Like
just mad underwhelming.
The third ending is the best ending.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we'll break down the endings a little bit later on. I wouldn't have been as disappointed getting that one, but if I had seen any of the other two endings, it's really quick.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I watching it with, like, I guess, like a modern lens and seeing these three endings like stacked onto each other, I'm like, does it film watching it like that? It feels really clever.
Yeah, it does. The way that it's put together.
Yeah. Because I was watching, I'm like, this feels like this film is once, like Last Action Hero. It was just a little bit ahead of its time. But I suppose if you didn't get all three endings laid on the way they did it, it wouldn't have felt that.
It would have been like a real, like, very, very underwhelming experience just seeing one, I think.
But yeah, there's a murder mystery. They're in a spoopy house with a murder mystery. any notes of trivia before I start rolling into the plot otherwise? But
I forgot to even look any up, to be honest.
Yeah. Where's Andrew?
Tim Curry is in it. Trivia. He's good.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll go a bit more into when we get to the ending discussion. But I will say, when all three endings occur, there is evidence throughout the entire film that does actually lean into each ending making sense within the narrative.
Mm.
So there are actual, like, it's actually, they go through it in the actual endings, but it's when this person's revealed to be the killer, the evidence is presented as to why it was them as well. And all that stuff was in the version you saw.
Right.
But there's also evidence to point to other characters throughout it. So they don't have to, like, pretend that things actually happened. It's all in that first 70 or 60 minutes, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just less on trivia, but more on just appreciation that the film actually had.
Yeah, the fact that they went to that much effort to actually make sure that it all made sense.
Yeah. Other thing is, I mean, this film is obviously based off a board game. It is better than it had any right to be, in my opinion. It's not trivia, it's just more of opinion. But
yeah, I guess so. I wasn't sure, like, what to expect from it.
Yeah, I would think, what was the last board game movie we saw? Had there been? Surely there were.
Jumanji?
But that was a board game movie that then made a board game, right?
Yeah, true.
I'm just trying to think, what other games?
Where's the goddamn Monopoly movie?
Oh, that's right. There was Ouija, which I've not seen because it's a horror film, but then there was Battleship, which I have seen, which is fucking terrible.
Oh, yeah, that sucked.
Actually, there's not that many. I actually don't mind the Jumanji movies, like the ones with The Rock.
They're fun. Yeah, I like those.
Like, they're nothing, they're not going to make you think or feel anything, but they're good popcorn flicks.
Yeah.
Is
there a Yahtzee movie?
No, there is not a Yahtzee movie. There's actually not that many board game movies. I can't imagine
there would be. It's such a weird thing to choose to adapt.
I mean, I own Betrayal at House on Haunted Hill, and I think, isn't that, there was a House on
there
Haunted Hill.
There is a House on Haunted Hill film.
But it's
I didn't
very
know
different.
That it was based on a board game, though.
I don't think it was.
No. Maybe that's just a happy coincidence.
I think the board game's named after the movie, sort of, maybe. Right. I don't know. It's fine. I do own Yahtzee, though. If there was a Yahtzee movie, I'd like to watch it.
Doctor Who Yahtzee at that.
Yeah, I haven't opened it yet. As you can see, it was a Christmas present from some dear friends of mine because I like Yahtzee and I do like Doctor Who, but I've just never had, like, a games night where Yahtzee comes out. It'll be more like, let's play Ticket to Ride or, you know, concept. I don't know. I'm just this is off the rails. Well, I guess I'll roll into the plot then.
Yeah. Let's do it.
So six people are summoned to the house from Rocky Horror. Let's just go with that.
Let's just call it a house on the Haunted Hill.
Yes. And they're told in the invitations to come here. They actually don't know why they've been summoned, but they've been told they have to go and run under pseudonyms in this. So his name's actually not Colonel Mustard. He's in fact a colonel, but that's not his name.
That's not his given name.
Not his given name.
I've been lied to.
Exactly. We're all lied to. But it's not actually Miss Scarlet, not Mr. Green, not Professor Plum. You get the idea. They're all pseudonyms.
Professor Plum sounds made up.
They all sound made up. What actually killed me was Mrs. White wearing nothing but black. Anyway, they're there. They have a dinner. They don't know who summoned them. The butler, who's played by Tim Curry or Wadsworth, informs them that the person who invited them, Mr. Body, will be attending shortly. Great little joke because his name is Mr. Body and his role is the body.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Yep. Mr. Body rocks up and it's revealed that he's actually here to blackmail all of them. They've sort of worked out they might all kind of know each other because some people look familiar to others. Mm. Turns out they've all in some part they work in like Washington or have associates in Washington, whether they're through the government or through different agencies throughout it.
Yeah.
They've all got some sort of loose connection, and Mr. Body's there to blackmail them. Lights go out, gunshots heard, and Mr. Body has been murdered, and everyone in the room has motive.
Everybody's a suspect.
Everybody. Somebody on this
train. And that's where the mystery truly begins.
Yep. Yeah, it's and then honestly, I don't want to play through it beat by beat because effectively they're trying to work out who they can trust, who they can't trust. More people end up being killed. People are missing from certain scenes and missing from other scenes, and it just depends on who they are as to where they could have been during other murders. But this film, you can watch it in a scene-by-scene basis and see who's missing to kind of work out who might be more of a suspect than not.
Mm. But I wasn't even like watching for that, trying to figure it out, but like I kind of wish I had now.
It's not the best for it. Like if you watch John Carpenter's The Thing and people are missing, you can sort of narrow down, oh, this person may have been taken over, or they might not have been. You know, sometimes you just don't find out. That film has a really good attention to detail with this. This one, it's not like it's inaccurate. It just, that's not the story it was telling. So it's just not as reliable, unfortunately. Which for murder mysteries, you want it to be. That's kind of the fun part, is me working it out.
Yeah.
I didn't work this one out. I knew, but I also came in remembering there was three endings and I was pretty sure the butler did it, which I was right one of the times.
Nailed it.
Anyway, yeah, they just one by one, more people are showing up and getting killed. They're trying to work it out. It is like your typical, like your 12 Indians storyline, like a thrifty, the lights go out, come back, somebody's dead. They find, you know, you turn a corner, there's a dead body. None of it's played for horror. None of it's played for scares. It's all, it's sort of just like, I don't want to call it like camp fun.
Oh, it's very camp.
Yeah.
I think that's like kind of what I didn't like about it too much. Like I just, hard for me to say because some of my favorite movies are like inadvertently camp and dumb, but like this felt like purposefully camp and I don't like that.
I do like that. It's so strange. I shouldn't, because it should feel dated, but when I watch films like this, or even like back in the 70s, like these sorts of, like the actual serious murder mysteries, the acting's always terrible. The acting's actually pretty good in this film, I'm not saying that, but the acting is generally not great. I'm sorry, old actors didn't know how to act. just the art forms change and you know, more range from people now. But I always, it just gets a pass for me for some reason. I'll watch it and be like, oh, I'm watching a film from the 70s. All the acting is terrible. But I'll never be like, oh, that was particularly bad. My brain just adjusts, like it sets the dial back and just accepts it. And like if I watch, what's the stupid Batman film?
There's about four of them.
Yeah.
You have to be more specific.
One of the Joel Schumacher ones, like the one that killed Batman the franchise. Forever. Yeah. When I watched that, at first I hated it.
Forever has redeeming qualities. You're thinking of Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin. So when I first watched that, I was like, oh, this is actually stupid. What were they thinking? And then somebody said to me, pretend you're watching Adam West. Pretend you're watching Batman 66 in tone and then go in and watch it. And I watched it. I'm like, oh, if you go in with the mindset that it's just going to be, once again, camp fun, I fucking love that movie. Like it changes it so much for me. I think just having the date on this film makes it good. Like one of my favorite movies is The Warriors, which is by no means a well-acted film. The action is terrible. Some of the performances are okay.
Yeah.
The music's probably the best part of that thing. But I love that film. Whereas when we reviewed it with, I reviewed it with Alex and Zane on the show. Alex could not get into it because it just looked too cheap for him. But for me, I'm like, the movie's from the 70s. It's going to look how it looks. And like my brain just fills the adjustments in.
Yeah.
But for him, he just can't get past it with modern sensibilities saying like, no, it just looks bad.
Yeah. I know people that are like that. Like they can't watch like older movies just because it doesn't look good. I'm like, that's such a weird thing to get hung up on.
Yeah.
Like time is a thing and things evolve and change. You can still watch something that's old and appreciate it for what it is. It doesn't have to look sparkly and nice. Like just because there's like, you know, no Joel Schumacher lens flares doesn't mean it's not a good movie.
Maybe we should go back and re-review The Warriors.
Maybe.
That'd be nice happy to do that. To review it with someone else that likes it that isn't just me. but yeah, it was like I mean, not to harp on, like when we reviewed John Carpenter's The Thing, same reason Alex didn't like it because it just to him looked cheap. And I was like, how are you judging the looks of this movie? Like firstly, the Thing looks fucking incredible. but yeah, and But for this film, I had no issues. I just, my brain just...
I had no problem with like what it looked like or anything like that, because I was like, ah, it's from 85. Like, this is fine. It's going to look like what it looks like. Yep. It was more just the, I think just the overall tone of it. And like, probably like the performances are good, but they're campy performances. And I just couldn't, I don't know, I just couldn't get into it. Like, I was like going into it, I knew it was going to be a silly movie because it's a movie based on fucking Clue and Seb liked it. So... But yeah, like there was just something about it that just bothered me the whole time, and I think it was just that real campy nature. I don't know if it's just like not what I was in the mood for, or if it was genuinely bad. But I struggled to get into it. But I love Tim Curry. Tim Curry was very good. Tim Curry doing Tim Curry things. I got through it.
I will say as well, my research did turn out. I was surprised to learn this. Only one part of the movie was actually shot on location. It was the ballroom. The rest of the house was all sets.
Ah.
And it genuinely looks like a whole fucking house.
Yeah, it
like,
really does.
Even just like moving from room to room, it felt really organic. I never felt like I was lost in a maze. That's why I was like genuinely, so props to the guys that actually did the set design. Yeah,
that's really impressive.
I came across another movie which came up because I rented this one on YouTube and it's like, hey, you want like similar movies? And it sent me, I want to watch it probably tonight actually, called Murder by Death. So this is from 1976.
Hold on. Murder by Death?
Murder by Death, the worst kind of murder. Oh,
that's the worst one there is.
And I watched the trailer and it didn't look that good, but I'm going to rent it because I'll read you the little synopsis here. Five famous literary detective characters and their sidekicks are invited to a bizarre mansion to solve an even stranger mystery. So there's like a character that sits in who plays like a stand-in for Hercule Poirot, the Agatha Christie one. There's actually a Miss Marple stand-in as well. There's the I put it on the trailer. And my wife was really interested until she realized that. Do you feel the actor Peter Sellers?
Yeah.
So he plays, he's a white man, and he plays Sidney Wang, an elderly Chinese gentleman. She was like, uncomfortable. I'm like, oh, yeah, this movie's from 76. Yeah, there's a white guy playing a Chinese man.
Because of course there is. We didn't know any better.
I was like, Jess, it was 76. Chinese actors weren't allowed.
They weren't allowed to do that.
Yeah, they definitely existed.
You were a doctor or a mathematician. You were not an actor.
Yeah. But it's got Alec Guinness in it, Truman Capote, James Coco, Peter Sellers, like, oh, Maggie Smith. Like, it's got like, I got a really good cast, and I'm going to watch it tonight or tomorrow night because I'm genuinely curious. But it, like,
that sounds like a good time.
It sounds good, but I watched the trailer and I was like, this is not funny.
Oh, it's going to be bad, but I think it's going to be one of those enjoyable bad film experiences.
It's pretty highly rated.
Really?
It's 7.4, which is a high for a comedy from that era as well. Like,
higher than Jay and Silent Bob Reboot.
Yeah, is it high? It's 1.1 higher than this movie.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. It's not in black and white. I assumed it would be because all of the stills are, but it is in color. Mm-hmm. Somebody's screaming at me being like, Seb, they had color cinema since 1920. That's not true.
When did the first talkies come out?
Let's find out. 100 years ago. No, that can't be right. Oh, no. This is a rabbit hole. Tell me the first. Okay. So a small test film was made in 1902 of color. But I mean, like, Wizard of Oz, when that came out, was like a big deal, that being in, oh, it was in Technicolor. I think that maybe it was just, yeah. Because they did that bullshit where they made you think that the film was going to be in sepia.
Yeah.
And then they did when did that come out? 1939. Okay. So this movie's 30, 40 years past that. Okay. Maybe I'm being unfair. But it's fine. Everything's fine. What was I ranting about though? Oh yeah. Murder by Death.
Yeah.
I'll let you know how that goes in a week's time.
Please.
But I kind of want to put it on around the wife just so she has to deal with Peter Sellers. It's a really bad Chinese accent.
I can only imagine.
Like, it's meant to be funny, but it's not. If this movie came out today and they did this bit as a bit, it would probably be funnier because they know it was a bad thing.
Yeah.
He's not doing it as a bad take. He's just trying to be the funniest Chinese guy that he can. All right. So yeah, murder mysteries. It's a thing. I don't really. Oh yeah, I guess we can jump ahead really to the ending.
What are we up to?
Well, it's just them running around the house and finding bodies, and I don't want to go into crazy detail about that. Like, they find the cook, they find the maid, they find the
The sexy maid.
The sexy maid, thank you. And they find the fucking door knock dancing person. Yeah. There are six murders in this film, which is interesting because, one of the endings we'll get to because there's six murders and six primary cast plus the butler.
Yep. So is it the cook, the maid, telegram lady, the cop?
The random and the guy
with the car?
Yes. Oh, and Mr. Body.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yep. So I guess we'll jump to the endings because there's a couple of them. So one of the endings is revealed that is it Miss Scarlet? Yes, it's Miss Scarlet's the murderer. She's blackmailing everyone. She's the one that really invited them all there. It was all her master plot. And, you know, Tim Curry quickly, you know, bests her in a math game, which he loses. It's weird. And the cops come because at the very beginning of the film, when it all happens, he's told the FBI's been informed they'll be here in 60 minutes or something for some reason. They'll take that long. So the movie's working on an actual clock, which does kind of match up. So the whole time they're just trying to survive while the cops come.
Yeah.
Cops come, take her out, whatever. Then the other ending is it's Mrs. Peacock. Mm-hmm. Very similar once again.
Yeah, same sort of thing.
Yep.
I thought when I was watching, I'm like, this is basically the same ending, but with the character swapped. Like, you weren't being very creative here.
And then there's the third ending, which is everyone killed one person each.
Yeah.
It's the it's sort of their murder on the Orient Express. Yeah. We're all the bad guys. But
everything was orchestrated by the butler though, right?
Yes. And Mr. Green actually didn't kill someone. Because the butler and the other five people kill one person each.
Yeah.
But then it turns out Mr. Green works for the FBI and he kills the guy that was there. Which is the best fucking ending to the film. So they're all going through it and Mr. Green confesses to during the film, like they're all being blackmailed and some of them don't want to explain what they're being blackmailed for. And he explains it, I'm gay. And this film's set in the time period when being gay was a thing that people cared about and they were blackmailing him with it. And the ending is fucking great. So Mr. Green's revealed to be a secret FBI agent and he kills the butler. And at the chief of police rocks up and he's like, who did it? And he's like, they all did it. But I killed the butler in the entrance room with the revolver and he's like, and he turns to the camera, and now I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife. Because it turns out being gay was a ruse all along.
Yeah.
But like,
that's right. I was trying to remember what the fucking line he says at the very end of the movie was, and that was it.
It's some ridiculous thing, but it honestly, I hate to use this term, but it actually popped me. I laughed so hard at him just turning to the camera and be like, now I'm going to go home and have sex with my wife. Cold ending. In the one where Mrs. Peacock was the murderer, there was an alternate take when she runs outside because she thinks she's escaped and the chief of police rocks up and all the police charge in. Apparently, there was a scene that was cut where they go outside and Mr. Wad, the butler's talking, he's part of the FBI and stuff, and the fucking chief of police has shot and killed her. And then as he's talking, he walks up to her corpse again and just shoots her in the head again or some shit. Like double taps his dead old lady.
Morbid.
Yeah. And they're like, maybe we won't use that.
They were ahead of their time with that one.
Well, she wasn't black.
True.
So really,
she was a woman though. Time. Still a minority.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, we're even, men and women. You get the cops are bad.
Here's the line. They all did it. But if you want to know who killed Mr. Body, I did. In the hall with the revolver. Okay, Chief, take him away. I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
Very nice.
I should have used that as my quote. That's fucking great.
Well, maybe we can go out on it.
My the quote that I wanted to open with today, but I didn't think I could do it justice. It was apparently the only ad-libbed line in the entire film. So it's when Wadsworth has accused Mrs. White of... He goes, you were jealous that your husband was stooping Yvette. That's why you killed him too. Yep. And she goes, yes, I did it. I killed Yvette. I hated her so much. The flames on the side of my face, having breaths, heaving. Like she's just like exasperated. She can't get the words out. And she's talking about like, I was just so angry, but it's fucking... I couldn't do it. I'll see if I can maybe pull it up on YouTube and play it because it's generally so fucking funny. Someone's been
skipping their improv classes.
Yeah. But that's the only freaking line they actually let them ad-lib in the entire film. Okay, I found it. I'm going to attempt to play it on our speakers. Well, let me press play first and make sure an ad doesn't play. Okay. Enjoy what could be up to 2 minutes of Clue, everyone.
Didn't mean to frighten anyone.
You're a bit late for that.
Then there were three more murders.
The whole thing.
Let's consider each murder one by one. Professor Plum, you knew that Mr. Body was still alive. Even psychiatrists can tell the difference between patients who are alive or dead. You fired the gun at him in the dark and missed. So you pretended he was dead. That's how you were able to kill him later, unobserved.
That's right. He was the missing person in the kitchen after we found the cook dead.
But he was with us in the billiard room when we found Yvette screaming. If that's when the cook was killed, how did he do it?
I didn't.
But you don't expect us to believe that, do you?
I expect you to believe it. You killed the cook. She used to be your cook, and she informed on you to Mr. Body. You made one fatal mistake. Sitting here at dinner, Mrs. Peacock told us that she was eating one of her favorite recipes. And monkey's brains, though popular in Cantonese cuisine, are not often to be found in Washington, D.C. Colonel Mustard, when we saw the motorist at the front door, you took the key to the weapons cupboard out of my pocket. Then you suggested that we all split up. You separated from Miss Scarlet, crossed the hall, opened the cupboard, took the wrench, ran to the conservatory, entered the lounge through the secret passage, killed the motorist with a blow on the head. Like that!
This is incredible!
Not so incredible as what happened next. After we all split up again, I went upstairs with you. Yes, you, Mrs. White. And while I was in the master bedroom, you hurried downstairs and turned off the electricity, got the rope from the open cupboard, and throttled Yvette. You were jealous that your husband was stripping Yvette. That's why you killed him, too.
Yes. Yes, I did it. I killed Yvette. I hated her so much. Flames on the side of my face. Heaving breaths.
I love that scene.
That struck me as so strange while I was watching it. I was like, what? Who wrote that?
Right.
And now I know it was just someone who's clearly never taken an improv class trying to improvise a line. And it's immortalized in the film forever.
You didn't like it? Like, I genuinely, that was the biggest laugh I got the entire film.
No, it's hilarious, but...
just because for me, it didn't strike me as like she didn't know what to say. It just, I was like, the character was just exasperated with how... angry this person had made
flames.
Like, yeah. And just like as she's describing it, I could only think of anyone Kill Bill when like the screen goes red and the siren starts.
Yeah,
that's like on her end. She's like, I just that's a new feature of the show apparently, where we just fall back on the film
for you.
God, that'd be so much easier if I could line that up,
wouldn't
every
it
time.
Just
maybe that's a thing I could do for
maybe
now. It sucks for theatrical
Sounds
releases.
Like a lot of effort.
There's a YouTube video.
True.
I enjoyed it though. That was part of the ending, by the way, where everyone is the murderer.
Yeah. God, that whole like last 20 minutes of the film is just Tim Curry running and yelling.
It is. Like,
it must have been exasperating to shoot.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen it and you couldn't tell from the audio there, he's literally, when he's like, I've worked out who did it, he will then in this... like, well, 20 or 30 minute sequence between the three endings, he's running back and forth from room to room, recapping exactly what happened from when the movie started to when they got to where they are right now, the entire plot. And he's absolutely sprinting through the hallways. And like, obviously there's cuts and stuff. Like, he wasn't just in one take fucking go, mate.
Man's lost some weight on this film.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But yeah, it's really great too. Cause he's like they do like running jokes where he's like, I've forgotten one thing. And everyone's like, one thing? Like, they're so confused about how he could possibly miss something because he's been so absolutely over the top thorough with what he's touring through. But yeah, I don't know. I'm happy to move on to verdicts unless there's any particular scene. Like, it's... The movie just has a lot of running jokes in it, which is nice. Like, it plays through really well from that regard, which is, I don't know, too in depth because it's common. Yeah. It's hard to describe.
Yeah, it kind of loses its touch when you have to explain it. But no particular scene stands out to me. I just very much enjoyed Tim Curry's entire presence in this film. I thought he was great.
He was really, really good. Like
anyone else in this film, I probably would have hated it, but he kind of saved the movie for me in that sense.
Oh, actually, I do have some casting notes, which we should have probably, I mean, Andrew would have reined us in. I believe.
See what happens when you're not here, Andrew. We go off the rails.
I believe that Rowan Atkinson was...
See, that I could get on board with, actually.
Okay, so in an interview conducted in November 2009, writer and director Jonathan Lynn stated that he had cast this movie. He said that while actors and actresses were recommended to him via the casting department, he made final decisions. His original choices for Wadsworth was Leonard Rossiter.
Who the fuck is that?
Because I'm unfamiliar with him.
No Tim Curry or Rowan Atkinson, I can tell you that much.
I think he's from 2001 Space Odyssey. I don't know if he's the main, though. Someone's screaming at me. How could you forget he was the grandfather from the Mighty Ducks? He was not the Mighty Ducks.
I would have known that.
Most famous for the role of Rigsby in Rising Damp, sure. But he sadly passed away in 84, just prior to pre-production. He was then followed by Rowan Atkinson, who obviously knew him from Blackadder and stuff, but the studio felt he was too much of an unknown for American audiences to take as the leading actor.
What had Tim Curry done up to this point?
So what year did this come out in again?
85.
Let's find out. Was Rocky Horror out by then? No, Rocky Horror was 75.
Oh, yeah.
10 years prior.
Okay, that makes sense. For some reason, I think that movie's like an 80s film.
No, I guess not. It's hard to tell because it's set in such a dark place.
Yeah.
So this movie was 85. I'll go through Tim Curry just to see because, I mean, I don't know what that is. It was an Oliver Twist, but that was the TV version.
Right.
I feel like his career should have exploded after Rocky Horror, but it doesn't feel like it did.
I thought so, hey.
Rocky Horror, 75, and then just a bunch of rando roles, which, I mean nothing to me.
Right.
To be fair, he only rocks up in really random places anyway, because he only did the It miniseries in 1990, yeah, so 5 years after. Yeah. Interesting. I can't see it here, but I thought that Sigourney Weaver was... Nope. Didn't like that beep. I thought Sigourney Weaver had I had read before that she had been offered a role or was considered for a role, but I can't see it here, so maybe I must have read it somewhere else. Once again, Andrew would have done this. I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming us for not doing it.
Filling issues.
Yeah.
We had time, and we just didn't do it.
We did have time. All right, verdicts?
Yeah.
You've heard the good, you've heard the bad, a lot of opinions, a couple facts, it's verdict time.
Yeah. It's also an hour and a half. Like it's a small buy-in. It's an hour and a half with three endings.
Yeah.
Once again, it would have been like 70 minutes with one of them. Not all endings are created equal though. You've got to make sure you get the version, which is the widely distributed version, which has all three endings on it.
Yeah.
You don't want just one of them. Even the good ending works better having the other two before it. So even if you somehow manage to get the good version, the best version is the one that we watched, which is, like I said, this is not an ad. It was on YouTube for $5 renting it. Like, it was super cheap, really easy to get.
Yeah.
Pity that wasn't on any streaming services, but...
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Would have been nice, but at least it wasn't a big buy-in, at least. But I like it. Good film. Yeah.
This is hard. Like, I didn't like it a lot, but I can see, like, the appeal to it. So I'm going to go with a tentative yes if you like... silly, campy things from the long, long ago.
Which I do.
Clearly.
I was worried that you were like going to sit on the fence with this one. I was going to hit you up with the best thing of one of the actors' names is a pun.
Oh, really?
The guy that played Mr. Bodies, first name is Lee, as in L-double-E, and his last name is Ving, V-I-N-G. His name is Lee Ving.
that tips it over. It's a definite recommend now.
Perfect.
Purely for that.
No, they did not remake The Castle, did they?
What?
No, it's okay. He was in a short comedy called The Castle that came out in 2013, but it's nothing to do with the Australian cult classic, The Castle. I was like, because he's not Australian. What is this? It's going to be like Death at a Funeral, like the American remake, for literally no reason. Perfect. Well, we're going to be back, obviously, next week. Hopefully, Andrew will be good to return to us as well. I guess we can commit to an order now. The next two films on our roster are Black Swan and Being John Malkovich. I think the easiest way to remember this is to go alphabetical and just say we'll do Black Swan next week.
Sure.
I mean, for us, it makes no difference. We watch two films and show up either film. But let's go Black Swan.
Wait, isn't alphabetical would be being John Malkovich? I was, E comes before L in the alphabet.
Yeah, it does. I was putting my B against the J for John Malkovich. Yeah, shit. Okay.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
We've already said it. It's Black Swan, then being John Malkovich.
Sure.
We've committed.
That's fine. And if, I mean, there's always a chance it'll be the other one.
That's true.
But it's probably Black Swan.
Tune in to find out.
I've actually not seen Black Swan before.
No?
I've seen very being John Malkovich, film. But which is very freaking weird. But my memory is I didn't even love it. I mean, I have to watch it with fresh eyes. Like,
Black Swan's good. I'm a big Aronofsky fan, though, so I'm probably biased.
Freaking Alex. I'll see if, hopefully he can make it as well. We watched Being John Malkovich together 15 years ago.
Mm.
And every now and then he'll just be like, Malkovich, Malkovich, Malkovich to me. Like, quoted that one fucking scene. And he won't let it die. Maybe I don't want him here for the review because I'll remind him that scene exists. Let's just do your socials and we'll. Yours and we'll
just mine. Okay. Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at JordanMSPP. My Instagram is the same. If you want to look at me, I don't know. That's an option.
That's certainly an option. I'm looking at him right now and I can tell you it's spectacular.
Yeah, that's a glowing review right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Not a hint of sarcasm or anything. You can follow me at Bastian_James on Twitter. I also have an Instagram, but I haven't touched it for 5 years. It's there. You don't use it. Yeah, perfect. And yeah, Black Swan next week. Yes. And hopefully, like I said, we're in a good place time-wise and we'll get a variety hour out that week too. And
I'll try to do variety hours in.
Try to do that cinematic gimmicks one because there is a lot of stuff there that's interesting and I'd say maybe just do your own research.
But not to mention 4DX.
Oh, God, that's another thing. Oh. All right. Thank you so much.
Goodbye. I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
Yep.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.